This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Tim Mize with you here on Sports Saturday. We're going to be talking to Chad Easterday in just a moment. A matchup of two state-ranked teams turned into a beatdown as Carlinville showed all of their skill last night. Offense, defense, and special teams. Jared Easterday threw for 7 touchdowns, 5 of them to Kyle Dixon. None of them more spectacular than that one you just heard right there. That ended the half after Pena punted with just 9 seconds in the half. Carlinville had one play to end the first half, and that is what happened as Kyle Dixon took it to the house. Good morning, Chad Easterday. What a ball game last night, and I had the touchdown call of Kyle Dixon at the end of the first half. That is one of the more sensational, remarkable plays I think I've ever seen to end a half, especially.
Well, I tell you what, you know, we talked about taking a knee.
Good decision not to.
And, you know, when you have a guy like, or a player like Kyle Dixon, you know, and we weren't getting the ball coming out of the half, we're like, let's see. To be honest with you, he was going to take it to the sideline, and we were going to take a shot at the end zone, and he ended up taking it to the house. It was a phenomenal play by him.
And that capped, I mean, Joe, I told you last week that I thought that first quarter you had was about as perfect as a team could play, but last night you're playing a state-ranked team, and you put a running clock on them in the first half. Incredible.
Yeah, you know, been a long time. I've been coaching a long time. I'm getting old, I guess. You know, we definitely had our A game last night. It's one of those nights where we couldn't do a lot of things wrong. You know, I thought overall from top to bottom in special teams, offense, defense, the way we got the ball out of our hands quickly and tackled and things like that, you know, things were in sync last night and they were really rolling our way.
And you never know how a game is going to unfold, obviously, but it didn't start the best for you. Your offense goes 3 and out on the first series, and then Pena goes right down the field, a couple of big third down conversions. All of a sudden, they've got a goal-to-go situation, and I thought Jake Ambuehl might have made the play of the night, knocking away that could be touchdown.
Yeah, you know, he knocks that play away, and then we come up with a big sack on fourth down, and you know, you're exactly correct. The first 3 plays was not the way we had it drawn up, but who would have thought that a kid who had 7 catches for 234 dropped his first one? So, you know, that's how it works. I thought our resilience there was pretty good. Nobody panicked, which is a good trait for us. You know, we try to coach those types of things, play the next play, that type of stuff. And, the next thing you know, it's not 7-0 them, it's 7-0 us 2 plays later. So that made a big momentum swing for us.
Chad, you did all this without Tucker Hughes, and obviously he plays in all 3 phases for you, but as you said, you didn't miss a beat in any of the phases last night.
You know, I hate to steal a line from Bill Belichick all the time. We tell our kids, you know, Tuck pulled his hamstring, very disappointed that he couldn't be there last night. We think he's going to be 100% here in the next week, maybe, depending on how his progress. It's been really good this week. And, you know, we go with that next man up philosophy. Tuck's been out there coaching and that sort of stuff. I thought Matt Schmidt did a great job of filling in the role of kicking extra points for us in the kicking game. Ethan Wallace fills in, takes full-time job on the there. We had to fill in on defense, that sort of stuff. So I was really happy and proud of our kids that we filled the puzzle in and that type of thing.
Chad, your offense, we talked about it before, but the quick strike ability, I mean, it's just so much fun to watch. I think you had 3 touchdown drives last night of 2 plays, and that can be demoralizing for your opponent when you can strike so quickly.
Yeah, it's in the back of their minds at all times. I think that ability and that quickness and the way that we're on you so fast, I think sometimes gets in their brain. You're exactly correct with your statement. And I think the other thing is, too, is the fact that we try to hurry up and we try to make sure that pressure, and you don't know where it's going to come from. You know, Kyle Dixon's Kyle Dixon. He's a phenomenal athlete. Jake Ambuehl stepped up. Ethan Wallace stepped up. Last week, Nick Walton stepped up. You know, so I think all of those things make us who we are.
And you said last week you thought the key to the game last night would be the ability to protect Jarrett, and job well done. I don't know that he really got hit all night. His uniform was very clean at the end of that ball game.
Well, I tell you what, it really was. And, you know, I tell you what, our O-line goes unheard of sometimes. Mm-hmm. But we hound them throughout the week a lot, and they just did a phenomenal job of keeping off of Jarrett and making those holes. And, you know, when you combine that with the quick passing game that we have, it's difficult for you to get somebody blitzed on us and that type of thing. So, you know, it fell together. I was very proud of them. I don't know how many times I can say it today, but, you know, obviously waking up this morning doing that is a very good accomplishment by our team.
Well, you mentioned the blitz pickup, and I can think of one play specifically. I don't remember it was the first half. Don't remember the exact point. But Pena had a rusher coming clean off the end, and Blaze Ballou pulls from right guard and comes over and just picks up the blitz perfectly. The pass, I don't think, ended in a completion, but I thought that really summed up your great offensive line play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they do a good job. We practice that stuff religiously all the time. And, you know, Blaze and Jonathan Stillwell and Siler McClain, Alex Dawson and Will Kincaid are rotating series there. Jordan Brussler, I mean, I can't mention enough names. And, you know, Coach Borgini's been around a long time and, he loves coaching his O-line. So, you know, I really have a special thing going on right there.
A lot of talk about Kyle Dixon today, and rightfully so, because, man, he put on just an athletic display last night with beautiful touchdowns. But I want to talk about Jake Ambuehl. He had three pass defenses that I can think of, had a couple of touchdowns, and, again, he was huge on special teams. This kid is so critical for you.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those kids that you don't account for sometimes, and you have to start accounting for him. You know, everyone talks, you know, Kyle, which is rightfully so. So, I mean, it's not a demoralizing thing at all, but, I mean, he's such a big frame and a hard body to get matched up on paper, and he can cover some ground as well. So I think that really is a balance for us that we have.
And you have such confidence in your secondary with Jake Ambuehl and Kyle Dixon. You put them on corners a lot of times, single them up, and they make the play for you.
Yeah, you know, I was going to mention that, you brought it up, but, you know, once again, there's two other names outside of Jake Ambuehl that's locked down. You know, Nick Walton, locked down corner, number three, he's on stats, had caught quite a bit of passes for them. He had one catch for 13 yards, so Colin Gibble did another great job last night as well. We're able to sprinkle in Kyle Dixon in the run game support system, so, you know, that really makes us diverse back there.
When you're up 49-6 at the half, you're obviously, I'm not going to say you're feeling good, Chad, because you're a head coach. I don't know that you're ever feeling good when there's still time on the clock. But when Pena comes out and scores two plays into the second half, radio version, what goes through your mind?
Don't panic. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that was our theme at halftime. Not too high, not too low. I know you guys hear me preach that all the time. Do what we do at Carbonville. You know, they're a quick strike offense. They're a very good offense. Last night just wasn't their night, so to speak. So we wanted to use the clock, work on some clock management skills, that type of stuff of our game, in case it had to been tighter down the road or something like that. And I thought we executed that part of our game pretty well. Nobody panicked when they scored. We were able to eat the clock and get that game in a manageable situation.
Those quarterbacks that can run can be tricky sometimes, but, man, you really contained Armstrong's running game last night.
Well, I tell you what, our front five on defense mixed up. I thought Coach Steiner called a great football game last night, was giving them a different fronts and different looks at different times, and got them a little confused, I think, at times. So, you know, our front's pretty good sometimes, and last night was our A game like we talked about earlier.
You mentioned Tucker Hughes has a hamstring issue, and you respect every opponent. That's why you win so many games consistently. You got Roxana Southwestern your next 2 weeks, but then at Vandalia in week 7. And I guess probably in the back of your mind, you want Tucker Hughes 100% when you go to Vandalia on October the 5th.
Yeah, that's the goal. That is the goal. And, you know, we think that can happen, if not happen sooner. So, you know, those injuries of pulled things, pulled ligaments, pulled hamstrings, you really want to be careful, because at any given time, if that's not 100%, we don't want that injury to be more significant than it is right now. So, you know, he was feeling good last night. I know he was disappointed that we didn't, because I think he could have gone, mm-hmm. that type of thing. So, you know, the season is long. The journey is long throughout the football season, and being healthy at the right times, at the right parts of your season are very, very important. I don't think 16, 17-year-old kids feel that way sometimes, and I hate to be the bearer of that bad news. But, you know, that was the best thing for him.
And, Chad, I would think that that's one of the tougher parts of your job is when you've got an injury to a key player like that, he's going to say he can go. But in some ways, you can't necessarily listen to the kid.
Yeah, that's part of my job that's the worst, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. I, you know, because I tell the kids all the time, I have the greatest job in the world because I get to do it every year. They only get 4 years to experience it. So I'm a kid at heart when it comes to coaching football. So, you know, that they have to, Tucker did a great job. He accepted it. He hates it. He accepted it. And very proud of him as a young man to see the bigger picture there. And like I said, he'll be back in a helmet here before too long.
That's good news. And, Chad, you're 4-0 on the year, and I've seen all four of your games, and they're really, from my perspective, there's not much to nitpick about what you've done through 4 weeks. It's just been an awesome display of football.
Thank you. You know, I tell you what, somebody asked me that last night, and I said, could you have painted a better picture? The answer would be no. Mm-hmm. Very proud of our kids for being coached. You know, those are types of things we talk about all the time, about being coached, learning our system, having 11 assistant coaches on the field at all times. And I was just very proud of our kids last night because they talked the language to us. And that means that they're listening and they're paying attention and all those good things. And I'm just very proud of them.
And three of your next four games now on the road. So that's always a different type of challenge.
Yeah, it is. And then to be 4-0, to have that in your hip pocket moving into this, you know, the middle third of our season is a good thing to build on. It's confidence and that sort of thing moving on toward the middle of our season and hopefully the postseason.
All right. Chad Easterday, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, and congratulations on an awesome win last night.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carthenville Cavaliers, as they downed Pena last night, 49-12. Pena state ranked. They were 7th in the 2A poll entering the week. Carthenville put a running clock on them in the first half. A truly remarkable performance. We will take a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk to Hillsborough head coach Aaron Duff following these messages on Sports Saturday. Welcome back to Sports Saturday. Last night in Toppertown, Staunton survived Hillsborough 20-14. A great high school football game. And joining us on the phone right now is Hilltopper head coach Aaron Duff. Good morning, Duffy.
Good morning.
Well, that was a tough one for you last night. Just kind of your overall thoughts on a really good high school football game that, unfortunately, you came out on the wrong end of.
My overall thoughts is, you know, we're upset with the loss, but I think we improved again. We did a lot of good things. We just got to keep going, and we're real close to being a decent football team.
And, Duffy, it has to be frustrating for you and your kids to know that You've got the pieces you need in your room. It's just a matter of putting it all together each Friday night.
Yeah, you know, we started off first play of the game with a turnover. You know, we had then their first score is a tipped pass in the air that the kid lands in the kid's hands for a touchdown. You know, we just need to get a couple breaks and keep working hard. We're going to be fine. I'm really proud of how our kids played.
And, you know, so much of football and sports in general is the ball going to bounce your way? And on nights when it doesn't bounce your way, it becomes really hard to win.
Yeah, it makes it a lot tougher. You know, we just got to, you know, worry about ourselves and have another great week of practice. We played really hard, I thought. You know, Fountain's 3-1, and we were right there and had a chance to win.
And this was a game, I think, that was scoreless in the second half?
Yes, it was.
So when you're in that type of ball game, you have the feeling, you've been around this business a long time, where you know one play at any given moment in a spot like that can change everything for you.
Sure can. I mean, you know, their three scores were just three big plays. We drove the ball up and down the field, you know, pretty much all night. Had a chance on a fourth down later in the game for, you know, a score and just didn't come up with it. It was a good ball game. I give credit to Staunton. But like I said, I'm very proud of our kids.
And you have to look at this, you know, obviously you're looking at big picture. Yeah, you're 1-3, but you played with Carlinville, who looks ridiculous this year, for a good solid half. You went to Vandalia. That was a close game for a good solid half. You take care of Roxana last week and then a tough loss last night. And not all 1-3s are created equal.
No. We are close to being a decent ball club. You know, we just, you know, we got to get a couple things going our way, and it's going to happen for us. I truly believe that. And as long as, you know, we keep a good attitude, which I believe our kids are going to, and we work hard again this week, You know, we're going to go over to Gillespie, who's also, I think, a decent 1-3 ball club. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be us two, you know, 1-3 teams going at it. And I think it's going to be another close ball game like this past week.
And in the South Central Conference, where it's the race to five to get into the playoffs, last night, in a lot of ways, that had big time playoff implications, and so will next week.
Yeah, for sure. You know, especially after, you know, we did lose last night. Next week makes it even more, much more of a bigger game than last night was. So, but, you know, I think, like I said, if we just get a couple things going our way, we're going to be all right.
Def, we've talked before about turnovers, and the turnovers have kind of bitten the Toppers for a number of years now. And I know that there's no magic pill to fix a turnover problem. It just comes down to taking care of the football and executing on game night.
Sure does. You know, we've started 2 weeks in a row now, I believe. Last week, second or third play of the game, we turned the ball over, and then last night, very first play. So, we need, like I said, that's those couple things we need to get going for us. Take care of the football, you know, a couple less penalties, you know, to stop a drive here or there, and, I think we can play with everybody on our schedule the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, you've proven that through the first four games of the year that you're going to be a very, very tough opponent each and every Friday night. And as you look at the schedule now, you're at Gillespie and then at Painter. So that is two tough back-to-back road games.
Yeah, I think we go at Gillespie and then Greenville at home.
Oh, look, my schedule says you got Gillespie at Painter then Greenville at home, but I will trust you. I'll say the IHSA is wrong.
I might be wrong. Heck, you know.
But either way, those are your next three opponents. No matter how they stack up, that's going to test you.
Yeah, for sure. We play Gillespie next week.
That's all that matters to you.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, you know, some people want to look ahead, and you know, sometimes you do a little bit, but right now Gillespie is our opponent, and you know, that's who we're going to prepare for, and every week's a must win. So. Like I said, I really love our kids and what they do for us and how they've had great attitude for us. So I think they're going to do that again this week. We're going to get better again.
And Gillespie's kind of developing that nasty edge to them like Hillsborough's had for years. So that's going to be a black and blue football game next Friday night.
Should be. If you're doing your job out there, you're going to be black and blue somewhere. So, you know, it's the nature of the sport, which is the reason I love it so much. And I'll tell you what, I think it'll be a good ball game again, just like last night.
Absolutely. Tough loss for you last night, Duffy, but we know one thing. There'll be no quit in the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, and best of luck next week at Gillespie.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And, yeah, according to the IHSA, at Gillespie, at Pena, home to Greenville, that is Hillsboro's next three ball games coming up. But, yeah, a tough 1-3 start, but you do have to look – at the big picture, you know, the record is what the record is. That's what Bill Parcells famously said. You are what your record says you are. That's absolutely true. But for Hillsboro, they started at Carthenville, at Vandalia. Those two teams are clearly the two best teams in the South Central Conference through 4 weeks. And they're going to be, I think, the two best teams in the South Central Conference through 9 weeks when it's all said and done. And Carthenville was within two touchdowns of both of them at the half. Now, if you just look at the final score, you know, they got away from them in the second half, but they were right there at halftime in both of those ball games, and then a tough loss last night to a very good Staunton Bulldog club who was off to a 3-1 start. I believe we have Paul Watson on the phone right now, the head coach of Nokomis. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Hey, we're doing very good, and heck, for a football coach, when you score 69 points, you're doing pretty good too, my friend.
Yeah, we had a good offensive night last night.
As you've looked at the kind of the game last night and kind of assessed it here over the last number of hours, what were some of the keys to that offensive success?
You know, we got our run game established early, and then that kind of opened up our passing game, which, you know, we've been kind of waiting for that to kind of take control of the game, and it happened last night.
And you're now 2-2 on the year, 1-1 in the Prairie State. So as you kind of take a step back and look at your team through 4 weeks, what are your thoughts?
Well, I really think last week coming out at Alt Marquette in the second half, we kind of found our identity and really got the run game going. And, you know, it looks good for the rest of the season here, I hope.
You know, and it's funny how it works sometimes. Sometimes you can learn so much from a loss, which it sounds like that's what happened to the Nokomis last week.
Oh, yeah. You know, we gave up 21 points in the first half to Marquette, and you know, we got off the bus and wasn't ready to go. And I told the kids all week, you know, we preached that, you know, we got to play four quarters, and if we do that, we'll be okay.
It's amazing how often a coach, you always have the sense of your club. You know if you had a good week of practice or if you didn't have a good week of practice. And I've heard it so many times where coaches will say, boys, got to be ready to play, or boys, you're not ready to play. And the kids think, oh, coach, come on, we're ready to play. And then you go out and you weren't ready to play.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that was our first road trip of the season was last week, and, you know, going all the way down to Marquette. And, you know, and it doesn't matter how many times, you know, the coach staff says, hey, you know, it's our first road game. We got to get ready, got to mentally prepare. And a lot of times the kids think they are, and they're not.
And it just is a totally different mentality when you're on the road, especially down there at Public School Stadium. That is a unique venue.
Well, and then, you know, especially last week with all the rain, and, you know, we actually talked about changing the game to Thursday night and looked at rescheduling that. And so, yeah, so we had a few little obstacles there that kind of made us mentally not prepared, I believe.
Right. And so I would imagine that was something that you really drove home this week in practice, and you have to love the way that your kids came back and responded.
Oh, yeah, you know, and then we worked on the positive stuff. You know, we looked at the first half when we was watching films against Marquette, and, you know, we showed them the difference between the first half and the second half. And you know, I felt that we probably had the best practice that we had last week or this week coming into East Alton Woodard, or excuse me, into Dupo that, you know, we were ready to go.
Now, you have, obviously, we talked at the very beginning of the year, you know, your number's down a little bit, so that obviously can become a bit of an issue as we get into the middle part of the season. How are you doing health-wise?
Well, we had one, Gavin Vincent, he hurt his shoulder last night, but other than that, you know, besides your regular bumps and bruises, we're healthy.
And that's all. Health becomes a relative term by the time you get through 4 weeks of a football season.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and we had a freshman that actually stepped in Gavin's place last night, Wyatt Dooley, and you know, he stepped up and did a good job for us.
Coming up next week, you go back out of conference down to Madison, who is undefeated on the year, I do believe.
Yeah, we go down there on Saturday, 2 o'clock game. You know, I don't really like Saturday afternoon games, but we got to do what we got to do and take care of business.
As you kind of look at the Prairie State Conference this year, it appears to be there for the taking for any number of teams, Nokomis included.
Yeah, it does. You know, I had look at the scores this morning and the Kincaid Pawnee score, that kind of surprised me there. And then, like you said, it's wide open.
Paul Watson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Nice win last night, and best of luck next week, sir.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Paul Watson, the head coach of Nokomis. The Skins off to a 2-2 start, 1-1 in conference play here to begin in the Prairie State. Let's run down some of the scores from last night. Told you the Carlinville, Pena, Stoneton, Hillsboro scores. Vandalia took care of Litchfield 62-0. Gillespie got an overtime victory over Roxana 26-20. Hopefully we'll be able to catch up with Jacob Bilbrook of the Miners here at some point in the next 30 minutes or so. And Greenville beat Southwestern 45-6. In the Sangamo Conference, not the Moreau Forsyth Conference, but the Sangamo Conference, Moreau Forsyth beat Williamsville 35-15. North Mac went over to Pittsfield and got a win 52-7. Pleasant Plains over Auburn 28-21. Athens shut out Riverton 62-0. It was Porta 28, New Berlin 21. In the Prairie State Conference, we just told you, Nokomis beat Dupo 69-24. Wood River beat Alton Marquette 40-21. In South Fork, you heard Paul allude to it, shut out Pawnee 46-0. And then in non-conference play, Madison shut out South Mac 68-0. So Nokomis put up 69 last night. Madison put up 68 last night, and they will square off coming up next Saturday. In the WIVC South last night, Carrollton beat Greenfield Northwestern 34-6. Calhoun over Pleasant Hill 44-26. In the WIVC North, Jacksonville Route beat Brown County 40-20. Beardstown shut out Minden Unity 42-0. And Camp Point Central over Triopia 38-7. In the Apollo Conference, Taylorville beat Muhammad Seymour 38-26. Effingham over Lincoln 36-0. Mattoon beat Charleston 36-24. And in non-conference play, it was Mount Zion shutting out Macomb 55-0. In the Central Illinois Conference, Decatur St. Teresa beat Tuscola 56-28. Jacardia Wright, 7 touchdowns for St. T, including a 102-yard interception return for a touchdown. And I remember seeing that young man last year in the playoffs when they took on Carthenville, and he was impressive, to say the least. 7 touchdowns last night. And you don't see many 100-yard-plus returns in the high school level. Shelbyville beat Sullivan Ocala Valley 41-12. Clinton shut out Macon Meridian 35-0. And Warrensburg Latham winners over Central A&M 21-14. In the Central State 8, Rochester survived Decatur MacArthur 22-14. SHG beat Southeast 70-26. A lot of high scoring games last night in the Central State 8. Chatham Glenwood put 60 on Decatur. Eisenhower won it 60-16. Springfield High beat Lanphier 63-28. And Jacksonville winners over Normal U High 36-12. In the Mississippi Valley Conference last night, Triad over Civic Memorial 29-7. Highland beat Jersey 68-21. And Muscoota over Waterloo 47-7. In the Little Ocala Valley Northwest Conference last night, Arcola beat Arthur Lovington at Wood Hammond 27-7. Argenta Orienta over Sangamon Valley 53-13. And Cerro Gordo Bement beat Decatur Lutheran 28-16. In the Cahokia Conference, Breeze Central bested Carlisle 42-22. Columbia over Trenton Westland 40-13. Salem shut out Redbud 21-0. And in non-conference play, Breeze Modern Day beat Freeburg 55-28. Our broadcast from last night, Carthenville Pena, Staunton Hillsboro, both available for you online right now at WSMIRadio.com. All of our high school sporting events are available online for free at WSMIRadio.com. As T-Tote would say, it's a tin roof, it's on the house. Speaking of Terry, he has been back in the hospital here the last several days. He's back in Memorial Hospital in Springfield as he continues to battle and deal with complications and kind of just the after effects of his second cancer surgery. Remember, it was Football Friday 1 year ago where he went in for a second cancer surgery, and he had a long recovery. I think it was like almost 90 days in the hospital. And ever since then, he's just kind of been dealing with the after effects that come with that type of procedure. So Terry back in the hospital. His spirits are good. Our buddy Dave Kane went up and saw him yesterday. Dave sent me a picture of Terry, and he looked good. He looked fantastic, and his outlook and his attitude has always been fantastic through this entire ordeal, and he has been through so much here over the last really 13 to 14 months. So continue to keep Terry Toad in your thoughts and your prayers. He is back in the hospital up in Springfield at Memorial, so if you would like to send him a card, do that. Certainly, he's always welcome to visitors. He, more times than not, is up for that. So just be thinking about Terry. This is a man who has done so much for so many people. For me personally, he has been instrumental as I got into this radio thing years ago, and he's just an awesome, awesome man. And I remember long time ago, I asked him one time, I said, hey, when you start your broadcast, why do you say hello, friend, and not friends? And he said, because it's a one-on-one medium. I am talking to you, the listener. I'm not talking to thousands of people. I'm talking to you, one person, you. And when he said it, it made total sense. And when you see how people relate to Terry over the years, that's a big reason why, because he's such a personable guy. Even if you've never met Terry, you feel like you know him on a personal level just because of the way he interacts on the radio over these 4+ decades. So he's an awesome man, and we just wish him the best, and hopefully he can get out of the hospital back forget about getting back to the station. That would be wonderful, and that would be great, and it will most likely happen because he's got an incredible drive. But I just want the man to be able to enjoy and live life. And that's what I want for Terry at this point, to be able to just enjoy his life. And not to say that he hasn't been enjoying, you know, his life in the last year, but believe me when I tell you, it has been a long, hard road for Terry Tote these last 13 months. So please just keep him in your thoughts. Keep praying for him. He needs all the prayers that he can get at this point in time. And we just continue to think about Terry Tote. And we're going to have, Terry's always wanted a basketball shootout. It's always kind of been his dream to have a basketball shootout. And we're going to have it this December the 8th at Carthenville. We'll have more details as we get a little bit closer to the date. But December the 8th, we're going to have a Terry Tote basketball shootout at Carthenville High School. And all the money that we raise that day will go to Terry Tote and his family. So just keep that on your calendar and in your mind for December the 8th. Switching gears back to football now. The Gillespie Miners, an overtime win last night over the Roxana Shells, 26-20. And their head coach, Jacob Bilbrook, joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, overtime wins, that's a little different.
Well, you know, not really for us. You know, we're used to doing things the hard way, and at least it seems like that anyway the last couple of years. But, yeah, you know, it was a little different for me, first experience. You know, I've seen overtime games, first one I've been a part of. You know, first one the kids have been a part of for sure. You know, they were kind of confused. They were asking me, you know, how overtime works in high school, and you know, we kind of had to use that little break after regulation to kind of go over, you know, explain, you know, hey, this is what's going to happen. You know, this is who gets the ball. We got to defend, and you know, just went from there. But you know, I thought the kids responded to it well, and you know, made the plays that we had to get the job done.
Now, did you get the ball first, or were you on defense first?
We actually got the ball first. Lost the coin toss. You know, they chose to defend, obviously, and, you know, we chose the side of the field, and, you know, I just kind of, you know, when you get in that situation, I think that, you know, you just kind of got to go with the feeling. We were talking about last night watching film, you know, they said, why did you choose, you know, this certain side of the field? And I just said, I don't know, there was really no rhyme or reason to it, just kind of, you know, thought that we were moving the ball well that way, and for whatever reason, and went in that direction. But yeah, we ended up scoring on a third and goal play from the five, and then ended up, you know, shutting them down on four straight to pull it out. So yeah, exciting win, and you know, I'm just happy for the kids, you know, get one in the win column.
You know, it's pretty neat, I would think, to be able to win a game walkout fashion on defense. That had to be pretty fun.
Yeah, you know, and I love it because, you know, I think that's something we've been preaching, you know, all year long. I mean, we, you know, we're 2-7 last year, you know, 0-3 this year, but, you know, going into that game and, you know, our offense wasn't the issue. You know, our defense was kind of, you know, lacking at times last year and, you know, at certain points, you know, during the year this year. So, you know, if we're going to be a successful football team, we got to learn to play both sides of the ball. And you know, I was happy that my defense showed up whenever I needed it the most.
Absolutely. And you mentioned 0-3, but Vandalia, Carthenville, Pena, most likely the three best teams in the South Central Conference. Greenville obviously is good, but you got those three cleared off the deck. And now, in some ways, your season started last night. You're 1-0.
Yeah, and that's actually what we started talking about, for the rest of the year. I mean, you know, we set goals at the beginning of the season just like everybody does, and, you know, one of those goals is certainly to be a playoff team, and, you know, when you start 0-3, you know, you got nowhere to go, but, you know, got nowhere to go but up, I guess, and, you know, we told the kids we gotta be 1-0 after each week, and, you know, win the week, so to say. I mean, the old coaching cliche, but, you know, whatever it takes to get that 1-0 and for the week, and you know, I'm thrilled to death for the guys that they were able to pull it out last night.
What did you learn about your team? Maybe what did the kids learn about themselves playing Vandalia, Carthenville, Pena to start the year?
Well, I mean, you know, those are all great football teams, and great coach football teams, and you know, they make you They make you do some things, you know, that get out of your comfort zone a little bit, and you know, they're just, you know, they got talented, you know, talented kids across the board, and I think that our kids realize that, you know, we can play at this type of level, you know, for, we just got to put a full 48 minutes together, and you know, there were still some little mistakes last night that I think that we clear up, and you know, maybe we're looking at a little bit different record at the beginning of the season, but I mean, those are, you know, we knew the schedule coming into the year, and to tell you the truth, I'm kind of happy that we got to play those teams first, because you know, we get our guys kind of found out a little bit about themselves, like you said, you know, what it takes to not just playing the games, but what it takes to practice during the week. What it takes, our practices have been so good, you know, since the beginning of the year. After, you know, even after that first loss to Vandalia, I think that we've really practiced well and done the things necessary to kind of take that extra step, if you will, and you know, get over that hump and you know, get that first W, which we finally did last night.
Absolutely. You talked about wanting to make the playoffs going into the year, still right there for you. Next week, in a lot of ways, is a playoff game because Hillsborough's also 1-3, so this is going to be a heck of a ball game next week.
Yeah, I mean, we're not expecting anything different. I mean, Hillsborough's a very well coached team. You know, we know that they're going to be a physical team like they always are, and you know, it's going to be our job to, you know, Coach Easterday mentioned it this morning. You know, not too high, not too low. We got to find a balance there of, you know, what it's going to take to, you know, win these kind of, you know, these tight ball games and against these good teams in our conference. And you know, we're going to do everything we can this week. We got to get another one on the W column.
And it's always a balance, I would imagine, for a football coach when you're preparing for a game. You have to prepare for the opponent, of course, but you still have to just focus on you and do what you do. So when you're anticipating a very physical football game, is practice any different in the things that you do leading up to that type of game?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I preach to the kids that, you know, our mantra, so to speak, has got to be, we got to be a physical football team too. You know, we run the ball. We like special teams. We like playing good defense. Depending on who you're playing, I think that every week, you know, defensive day is a big day for us, but I think certainly, you know, different types of offenses and things like that, you know, you're gonna have to do a couple different things in practice, you know, just to prepare for those types of games that maybe you normally wouldn't do for a pass heavy team.
Jacob Bilber, congratulations on the win last night, sir, and best of luck next week.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right, Jacob Bilbrook, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners, an exciting overtime walk-off win last night in Roxanne. And we're going to have that Gillespie Hillsborough game on the radio next week. And that has really every opportunity to just be an old-school, smash-mouth, grinded-out football game. And then you factor in that both teams will be fighting really for their playoff lives. If you go 1-4 in the South Central Conference through 5 weeks, you got to win out to get into the playoffs, obviously. So that becomes a huge game next week for the Miners and the Toppers. And the odds are, the way that the league works out, one of those two teams is going to make the playoffs after a 1-3 start. And whoever wins that game next week is going to have a really, really good opportunity to get it done. So that'll be one of our broadcast features next week here on WQSMI FM 106. We need to get to one more break here on Sports Saturday. We're back following these messages. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday. Fighting Illini football coming up this afternoon from Chicago. We'll have live coverage of Illinois and South Florida on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. That would begin at 1:30. Cardinal baseball today hosting the Dodgers 11:10 with the pregame on AM 1540 and FM 106.9 as the Cardinals have dropped the first two games in the four-game series, so they need a win in a big, big way today. They started the series on Thursday with a two-game lead over the Dodgers. They are now tied with LA for that second wild card spot, and it could go south in a hurry for the Cardinals if they can't get it done today. So 11:10 with the pregame on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Going to switch gears here for a moment, talk about some golf. Yesterday, a fantastic boys match at Edgewood Golf Course
in Auburn. It was Hillsborough, Lincolnwood, North Mac, and Auburn. Hillsborough won the match. That is a surprise to no one. They shot a very solid 157. Lincolnwood came in second at 164. They bested North Mac by two strokes, and then Auburn finished at 173. Alex Eichhoff from Hillsborough was the medalist. He shot an even par 36. Alex White shot 38. Dane Huber shot a 41, and Owen Malloy shot a 42. For Lincolnwood, Dade Pitchford shot a 40. Sam Herman and Braxton Schmedeke both shot 41, and Andrew Skinner shot a 42. North Mac's Justin West shot a very nice round of 37. Matthew Hendricks shot 41. Grant Thorman, 43. And Riley Marco shot a 45. And Auburn's Charlie Jessup had the Trojans' best score. He shot a 40. The toppers today are at the Windsor Invitational. Of course, I guess that was just last week when they were over in Mattoon for that invitation. It was supposed to be a 36-hole event, but it got rained out. Hillsborough wound up finishing 7th out of, I believe, 37 teams in 18 holes of that tournament. And we're going to have Jeff Eichhoff, the Hillsborough head golf coach, on Sports Saturday. I think October 6th is the date that we have lined up. That'll be between regionals and sectionals, as Hillsborough's got some matches coming up here the next couple Saturdays. Jeff has a personal commitment mixed in there. So we're going to talk to Jeff Eichhoff and talk about the Hillsborough golf team coming up on October the 6th. This is just an incredibly skilled golf team with the two Alexes. They're consistently shooting in the 30s. And then Hillsborough has like four other kids that can always get into the mix. We're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Staunton Bulldogs head coach Zach Ferguson. Good morning, coach.
Morning.
Hey, great to talk to you. What a thrilling win last night. Just kind of take us through your thought process as a scoreless second half was unfolding.
I mean, that was a game with two good quality teams. I mean, we got 20 in the first half. They got 14. And then, you know, the second half was basically all defense. You know, they moved the ball, we moved the ball, but both of us got stops, and, you know, we got some turnovers when we needed to, and, you know, but they stopped us on some fourth downs that we needed to. So, I mean, that was a fun high school football game.
Absolutely, and you guys got the turnovers, and you were able to capitalize on enough of those turnovers to get the job done, and so much of it is the points off the turnovers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we got a first fumble in the first quarter. We got a touchdown off of that, and we got a one pick, and we scored off of that, and we got a pick in the fourth quarter to kind of seal the deal. So, I mean, yes, points off turnovers, you know, if you can capitalize on that, you're going to put yourself in pretty good position there.
Zach, as you look at your season now, you're off to a 3-1 start. You have yourself in a very good position here just past the third quarter pole.
Yeah, I mean, our goal is always 2-3 after every three games. You know, Greenville, I thought kind of laid a goose egg, and Greenville kind of played really well. And then, you know, to beat Piasaw and then to come back. On the phone. I'm going to read you. sorry. To come back, you know, from there and, you know, beat Piasaw and then, you know, Hillsborough's, you know, this three-game stretch for us has kind of always been hard for us, so, you know, to go to Hillsborough and get a win out of there, you know, that's pretty huge for us. So, you know, we're feeling good right now, but we know we still got a lot of work to do.
And Coach, when we talked at the beginning of the year, you talked about that. The first three-game stretch, you went 2-1 last year. The final three-game stretch, you went 2-1. It was that middle portion of the schedule where you went 0-3. So you have to like the growth of the team from last year to this to get that win at Hillsborough last night. Huge.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely, I feel like we've definitely taken a step, you know, to get over that hump where, you know, sometimes those three games, you know, Hillsborough and Pena and Vandalia, you know, those are three tough teams, and, you know, sometimes our kids in the past have, you know, I won't say be intimidated by it, but they know how good those teams are, and, you know, to get a win in the first week of that three-game stretch, you know, hopefully that carries over with some momentum going in the second week against Pena.
What type of growth have you seen? Because you had so much talent coming back from last year that I think a lot of people thought this could be a big-time action year for the Staunton Bulldogs, and you're off to a great start.
I would say it's, you know, a lot of the growth is, you know, we had a great, honestly, it started in our off season for us. You know, we had 40-plus kids every day, all spring and winter. You know, and the kids, second year in the system where the kids are understanding the system, but even getting over that mental hurdles of, you know, finishing games, you know, not getting down when teams score on us, you know, never feeling like we're out of the games. I think we've had a lot of mental growth as, you know, as far as being a little bit more mentally tougher in certain situations and, you know, then stepping up. You know, last year when a big play happened, we kind of sometimes hung our heads, and this year it's, you know, a big play happens, it's on to the next play, and we're just, you know, we're trying to continue to grow, and we're a lot more mentally tougher than we were last year.
And that's, I mean, that's such a huge thing for a football team, that mental toughness, and it really shows up in a tough road environment last night at Hillsboro, and you'll certainly need that mental toughness next week at Pena. I've always thought Pena one of the toughest places to go to in the South Central Conference.
Yeah, it's a great environment. I mean, they do a great job of making it a very, you know, some schools' home field advantage doesn't mean a lot, mm-hmm. but Pena definitely does. I mean, they've invested in their athletics. They've got a great coaching staff. Their players are very athletic and well-disciplined. I mean, they got a great environment there. So, you know, anytime you play there, you got to be on your game because they're going to bring it.
Obviously, when you're on the road or any game, even at home, you got to take care of the football and limit the penalties. Mm-hmm. But outside of those two areas, what do you think will be key for you next week?
It's going to be, you know, control. They're fast. It's going to be about controlling their speed. Again, if we don't give up, last night we didn't give up any big plays. You know, they scored on drives, but no big plays. And I think the biggest key is going to be, you know, limiting the big plays and also, you know, the turnover margin. I think that's what's going to really affect the game on either side of the, you know, either side, either team. It's going to be, you know, who takes care of the ball and who can convert on, you know, third and fourth downs, and, you know, who's going to be able to make those plays that they need to make to keep the drive going.
All right. Zachary Ferguson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. Great win last night, and good luck next week.
Thank you very much.
All right. Zachary Ferguson, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs, off to a 3-1 start, and what an opportunity they have next week at Payne. If they can go in and get the job done there, get off to a 4-1 start, whew, look out for the Staunton Bulldogs. They are coming here in 2018. We are out of time here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Thanks to all of our area coaches who joined us this morning on the program. Hard to believe, already 4 weeks done in the high school football season, and Carlinville is awesome. They are such a powerhouse here this year, and of course they have Roxana Southwest in the next 2 weeks, and then a big time showdown in Vandalia, week number 7, and who knows what will happen by the time we get to week number 8. Thanks to all of our wonderful sponsors for making the show happen as well. Again, thanks to our area coaches for joining us here on Sports Saturday. For Levi Ubelt, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. Have a great sporting weekend.